At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
VoiceOver Coffee Shop, episode number 57.
Welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we share our morning with some of the finest names in voiceover. And now, here's your host, voice actor Andrew Morrison.
Hi there, my name is Andrew Morrison, and welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we start our day with some of the finest names in voiceover. If you'd like to get to know a little bit more about me, feel free to visit my website at andrewdmorrison.com. In this episode, we have voiceover demo producer, founder of Earblowing Audio, and my friend, Eric Romanowski. With years in production, radio imaging, and demo writing, Eric's demos have found their way onto the rosters of some of the largest agencies in the country. And in this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about favorite plugins, demo magic, and being in the great outdoors. Hey, Eric, how's it going today, man?
It's good. It's good. Very good.
So how do you
we got coffee.
We do. How do you take your coffee in the morning?
Hot. Gotta have creamer.
Gotta have creamer
with the coffee.
Are you a flavored creamer guy or just a half and half guy?
Vanilla creamer will work. That will suffice. I used to be a creamer snob, but then my wife told me it was unhealthy. So now I'm just a vanilla. I don't even know what it is. She bought it. It's healthy. Healthier. I shouldn't say it's healthy. It's healthier.
Gotcha. So I know. Before you started doing demo production, you originally were in radio imaging and production and commercial production. How did you start diving into that side of the media industry?
The demo production?
No. How did you first start landing in like radio imaging and like commercial production?
Yeah.
Let's take it back.
Yeah. I mean, radio imaging, oddly enough, kind of happened the same way voiceover did. Like I always wanted to be on air. Mm-hmm. Just like most people that get in the radio, it's like, that's where all the fame, quote unquote fame is. And that's right. How, you know, but, you know, I was working overnights in radio and was submitting CDs. That's the plastic disc, Andrew,
yeah.
In case you're wondering. Okay. So yeah, so I was submitting CDs and I was getting absolutely no response from anybody. And I was like, I probably suck. And that's why I'm never hearing back. And it's a tough industry to break into, especially on air. Hmm. And I said, look, this is all I know how to do. That's all I went to college for. I didn't, you know, focus really on anything else. I, you know, even towards the end of my college life, I literally had to have one-on-ones with professors and be like, listen, in radio, it's all about experience. It's not about grades. You just please pass me. That's all I need you to do. And I lived at the radio station. Like I was on air, but to make a long story longer, essentially was submitting to radio stations, getting no response. And I was like, all right, well, I got to figure this out. What else can I do? And I kind of fell in love with production and imaging. So, taught myself, you know, picked up some tricks from other people, but a lot of it I taught myself and just studied the craft. And my first gig was a full-time gig, was imaging director for a rock station on top of being the morning show producer.
Fantastic.
And, you know, to this day, I don't know why he hired me because I really had no experience. I think it really helped that I knew someone that he knew. Mm-hmm. because I mean, when I had to submit that demo to him to show him my imaging, I was like, I don't have anything. I gotta make this up. I gotta figure this out quickly. And I did. And he hired me. And so here we are.
So for those like trying to get into like I'm curious about what that world looks like. What did you do on a day-to-day basis as a radio imaging producer?
Yeah, I mean, part of my day-to-day is the reason why I left. You know, in the good times when I first got there and they weren't continually cutting people from radio, I was you know, writing imaging copy. I was sending it off to the voice talent, so dealing a lot of one-on-one with voice talent and directing them through the copy. Obviously I was producing it all. So when I went to this rock station, I was producing and writing a little bit, and then I got another gig after that for 4 radio stations, and for that I was producing for all 4 of those. It could be anywhere from producing a concert promo to, you know, just writing a sweeper about, you know, today's continuous soft rock for your workday. Yeah. You know, towards the end, I was doing a lot of stuff that most imaging directors shouldn't be doing and didn't want to do. Like I was loading in music, you know, like it was just because no one else was around to do it. And it was like, hey, Eric will do it. Eric's reliable. Have him do it. So that's part of the reason why I left, and just the underappreciation and undervalue that a lot of radio people deal with, especially as a production person. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no glory there. It's like you are the bottom of the barrel. Fix this. Make it work. Work your magic. You know, save the day. And then it's like you get a little pat on the back and on to the next. So that it just, I just felt undervalued. Mm-hmm. And when I was producing demos, people really appreciated what I was doing for them. They really appreciated the time I was putting into demos. Mm-hmm. They appreciated my expertise. They appreciated my input. You know, my input actually mattered. Mm-hmm. You know, so slowly but surely, I fell out of love with radio and in love with voiceover.
Yeah. Well, when you were doing all of that production, when you were receiving demos, what were some of the things that spoke out to you that were just small things where you were like, yes, this is a talent that I want to use within my pool?
Yeah. You know, to be honest, I didn't really receive that many demos. Mm-hmm. You know, our program director was receiving most of those. Every now and then, on the rare occasion, I'd receive a phone call out of nowhere and just be like, hey, I'm a voice talent. Mm-hmm. You know, like, are you looking? You know, so, a lot of, as I had my career going in radio longer and longer, the more I understood about the voiceover world and a lot of the people that I was referring, mm-hmm. I was friends with, and I knew that they were good and I knew that they were reliable. And you know, some of them I had produced their demos and I just had a really good rapport with them. I knew what they were capable of. So, you know, just being honest, you know, I really didn't receive that many voiceover demos. It's just the imaging guy.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you did decide to start making demos for voiceover talent, how did you go about creating your demo production company? And like, how did you know that it was the right time to start cutting demos for other people?
Yeah, I mean, it really started when, man, I think it was like I was freelance. So on top of working at the radio station, I was a freelance producer for other radio stations across the country. Mm-hmm. So I had a station in Chico, California that I did. I had some in Canada that I did. You know, I was all over the place. They didn't have an imaging guy in the building, so they would outsource it to me. So in that process, you know, I met some voice talent and, you know, as I kept producing imaging and people were hearing it, every now and then people would reach out and say, hey, so-and-so told me you're an imaging director at the radio station. I'm looking to get into it. Would you cut me a demo? And I was like, sure. let's do it. You know, like I didn't really go out of my way to pursue it. Mm-hmm. You know, like the first year I ever did a demo, my rate was ridiculous. I won't even tell you what it is because it's absolutely embarrassing.
Can I get that right now?
No. Oh, okay. In fact, someone just reached out to me recently and I was like, you know, this was, you know, probably 6 years removed from the first time we had actually talked. And mm-hmm. I was like, it's always a weird conversation when you got to be like, yeah, so things have changed a little bit.
Right.
Since the first time we worked together. But anyway, yeah. And, you know, the first year I produced a couple demos, literally through the whole year. It was like two people, three people. Mm-hmm. And then the next year, maybe it was six. You know, so it was a very slow build. It wasn't something I actively pursued just because, even in the beginning, just because I was working at the radio station full time. I was fully committed to that. Very busy working for four radio stations on top of freelancing with anywhere between a half dozen to a dozen across the country on any given time. So when I was coming home from the radio station, I was producing more. So I didn't really have the time. That's kind of how it all came about. And then it just kept growing and growing and growing. And then I enjoyed it more and more and more and enjoyed radio less and less and less. And my shift of like what I valued and what I thought was important, I stopped really caring as much about radio. I never got fired, but I am a little, I don't know. I'm having a tough time with words today. I never got fired. So it wasn't like a bad breakup,
like a layoff sort of thing, or did you leave?
Oh yeah, no, I left. Okay. Yeah, I feel like I'm like one of the very few people who never got fired in radio. I mean, even if you didn't do anything wrong, most people got fired in radio. But no, it was just one of those things where I just kind of like was disappointed with how the industry was going. It's mm-hmm. it's still, you know, it's just a little frustrating, you know, to see how much they're working people, you know, and mm-hmm. trying to pay them absolutely nothing, you know.
Right.
But my position was actually eliminated 2 years after I left. So that just kind of shows you where it's at.
Gotcha. So when people are coming to you wanting, you do imaging and commercial demos, correct?
I do imaging, commercial, promo, narration, and TV affiliate. But I would say commercial has become the demo I do the most.
Gotcha. So when, yeah. Well, then we'll talk about commercial demos. So,
well, I mean, imaging too. Imaging is how I guess my break into demos was imaging. And then I kind of saw that there is still a need for imaging. Obviously there's still work there. It's mm-hmm. not as much as it once was. And it's tougher to break into. Right. And I saw that. I was like, okay, again, that whole, like, if I'm going to make this work, I need to make a shift. And that's where I was like, okay, I need to get better at commercial demos. I need to get better at promo, narration. And I just, again, worked my butt off, studied the craft, and here we are. And so, imaging is one of my least in-demand demos now, and commercials number one by far. Yeah, so.
Well, with imaging, with it being tougher and tougher to break into, when you get a new client wanting a radio imaging demo, how do you best set them up for success? Like, how do you go through which genres of radio imaging would fit them best and what spots to build out and how to best present them on it?
Yeah, I'm very, very particular with imaging because I know how hard it is. And I'm not just going to be like, yes, let's do a demo. You have a chance. Mm-hmm. You know, and voiceover in general is tough, but I'm saying imaging more specifically is pretty tough.
It's not for everybody.
Say that again?
It's not for everybody. Radio imaging is not for everybody.
Right, and that's the thing too. So when someone reaches out to me, I'm very, very candid with people. I'm like, all right, A, this is what you're up against, so just so you know. And then B, it's like, you know, I don't think this is probably the best fit for you based on what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if I listen to their other demos and I hear that the commercial demo is not great, or it needs a lot of work, or it's old, it's long, whatever it is. I typically tell them, like, listen, like just table it. And again, my input, my two cents is like, hey, if your other demo needs work, fix that first. There's more money there now. There's more money there on the regular. So, you know, for them to jump into imaging with a very mediocre commercial demo is, I feel like I'm almost doing them a disservice. I'm just kind of spreading them thin, you know? So I am very honest with people. I tell them, you know, you might not pick up any imaging gig for a whole year if you're lucky. And I'm very honest with people about that. So, and I let them kind of decide from there if they think they want to pursue it. And then again, we have a coaching session. And as we're doing that, I'm like, okay, is this still something you want to pursue? And I'll give my input. You know, I'm not sure that this is right for you or whatever. So I'm very hands-on with that in that regard.
Yeah. And what are some of the foundational things that you teach when you are coaching? Like, what are some of the big areas of improvement that you've seen?
Yeah. You know, I think the biggest thing for imaging is you have to get it. You have to understand that it's a different animal altogether over commercial. It's similar to promo. I would say one of the biggest things that I tell people that they have to be conscious of is, do you have an outgoing personality? Are you able to improv? Imaging loves improv. Imaging loves personality. So if you're like, I don't want to say you don't have a personality, but that's typically what I'm saying. If you don't really have a personality, you're not really outgoing, you're not willing to just say some stupid comment that comes to your mind and just say it and be a little wacky and be a little off the wall, you know, for a lot of formats, imaging probably isn't for you. There are some formats that are a little more tame in terms of what they expect from the talent, but you know, there's fewer people doing those jobs and they kind of want your, I don't want to say your creative input, but they want you to run. If you have an idea that pops in your head, they want you to run with it. They want you to say that funny thought that comes into your mind if you're reading a Justin Bieber promo.
Yeah.
You know, so I would say that's one of the biggest qualities that they're going to be looking for is that personality driven mentality.
Yeah. And with your commercial production, how are you helping to coach people through that? And how are you building the spots and building those stories? What is your process with your commercial demo production?
Yeah. So what I'll say in regards to that is I don't coach anything but imaging.
Okay.
And I do that for a reason, but mainly because I know there's great people already doing it and I don't need to. And I think the people that are doing it are really great. And I like to stick to my expertise in terms of coaching. I do direct through the sessions, but for like commercial, I'll refer people to like Marilyn Wissner or Donovan Cornitz or someone like that. You know, each category, I pretty much have my go-to coaches that I refer people to.
Yeah.
So I actually don't touch any of those in terms of coaching. I have a very, very short list of people that I rely on and trust to be honest with people when they reach out to them, when I refer them to them and just give it to them straight. They're not beating around the bush or sugarcoating things. So,
yeah. And yeah. With demo production, I'm just curious, are you starting to notice a difference in demo production due to like the loudness units and the way that like major streaming services are like handling normalization? Or like, are you expecting demo production companies to continue this loudness war that we've been hearing recently?
It just seems
like they're getting louder and louder and louder, I guess, to try to be attention grabbers or to show you that their booths are treated well, because the louder it is, the more you can hear. But like, I've just noticed this. I was wondering if it was just me.
Yeah, you know, I guess all I'll really say on that is, you know, imaging they're pretty loud demos, but like very in your face,
right?
Overcompressed. I mean, that's just imaging to an extent. Mm-hmm. I will say that I think for me personally, I don't want to say underproduce, but I don't feel like I overproduce either. I think that's one of the things I focus on is making sure that it's about the voice. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's sometimes you hear a demo and it's like, okay, like this music, I can barely hear you.
Right.
It's not a production showcase. It's a voiceover demo, right? So, you know, obviously some areas like promo and imaging are a little more produced than you would say like for commercial.
Right.
And then you have like even like non-broadcast narration is very underproduced. So that was one of the things I had to kind of learn and teach myself. Be like, listen, this isn't imaging anymore. You can't blast the hell out of the audio, crush it like you do in imaging, because it's not the same animal. And mm-hmm. and so I tend to really try to focus on that and make sure that the voice is the highlight and not the music.
Well, what is your favorite plugin? I'm curious, because we just talked about a bunch of compression and stuff. What's your most used?
Yeah, I mean, you got to get rid of those mouth clicks, man.
Right.
those are, you know, and that's one thing in radio I was never really taught, was like, I would be putting stuff on air and I was like, man, I listen back now and I'm like, mouth clicks galore, and, you know, sibilance was out of control. And I just really never was taught that or knew that when I was in imaging. Right. And as time progressed, I mean, I just always continue to hone your craft. And that's pretty much what I've been doing, is I'm always open to learn. You know, you got to keep learning. You just have to. So,
well, as a heavy coffee drinker, what are you using for mouth clicks?
What's that?
As a heavy coffee drinker, what are you using for mouth clicks?
Yeah, the isotope. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, obviously drinking coffee before a session is probably not the best idea.
Yeah.
But.
So what do you do outside of the booth? How do you kind of like recharge your batteries with all these hats that you're running around wearing?
Three kids. So that keeps me pretty busy. Like right now is soccer season and piano and gymnastics. We just got done with basketball. So our kids are very active. Year round, we literally have to find a sport for my son or we'll lose our minds. On top of that, I'm a very active person myself. I'm out walking, running, lifting when I'm not hurt, hiking, all that. That's pretty much a given every week. Today, after this, I go outside and my son and I are going to go play basketball or something like that. So my wife and I are very active, nature-y people. So I would say that's a good bit of my time. Outside of that, you know, I love sports, go Bills. I love music. I don't love making repairs around the house, but that tends to take up some of my time too. Other than that, just like relaxing and trying to enjoy the weekends. Like that's one of the biggest things that I've changed in my career. And I've seen a huge difference in my life. I've seen a huge difference in my career. Like I stopped working weekends. And I just said, I will every now and then if I'm on a tight deadline, but I was chasing the money more when I left radio and not, it just wasn't sustainable. I mean, I was working 7 days a week, missing playtime with my kids outside or inside, you know, missing this, missing that. And very quickly, very early on, thankfully, I realized I can't keep doing this, or I'm going to look back and regret it.
Right.
And money stopped becoming an object for me. Like I don't have the nicest house. I drive a Kia Sorento. Most people would be like, man, you do really well at demo production. I'd be like, I drive a Kia. Not that there's anything wrong with Kia. Don't get me wrong.
Except for their new logo that looks like KN, but that's a different
episode. Come on. I love the new logo. I mean, the Kia did come about mainly because when my wife and I was about to get a new car, and then it was like, oh, surprise, we're having twins. And I was like, okay, looks like I'm not getting a car, because we literally, my Kia Sorento, the back seat is three car seats. My daughter is 10 and the twins are 7. And, you know, we just thought it was feasible for me to keep it. But so yeah, that's the wild life of a demo producer in Virginia.
Fantastic. So if you were to like write yourself a letter and send it back in time to when you first broke into, hey, I'm a step away from radio and I'm gonna go into demo production, what would you write back to yourself?
What would I tell myself before I jumped into demo production?
When you were leaving radio imaging and you were going all in on demo production?
Man, that's a good question. I mean, the first thing that kind of comes to my mind is enjoy the ride, you know, enjoy the ride of any success you have. I think sometimes, like, as talent, as producers, we're so caught up in the moment, you know, of just continually cranking out work. You know, you guys got to do your auditions. I have to coach someone. I have to write copy the next day, produce a demo the next day. I've worked with, and I'm extreme. I know people, this is like so overplayed out, but I'm extremely grateful, extremely thankful that the people that have come to me have come to me. And I was just thinking about this the other day. It's crazy to me that I've had the pleasure of working with some of the people I've had the pleasure of working with. And I think I take a lot of that for granted. Like if you look at my site, some of the names on there are very successful talent. And I think sometimes I forget to like just be like, listen, dude, like this is really cool, you know, like enjoy the moment. I guess the only other thing I would say is like if I were to write myself a note, it's just like it's not about the money. You know, like thankfully, the best thing that came out of COVID for me was to just reprioritize my whole life. I stopped working weekends. I don't really even work on nights anymore. I used to go to bed at 2, 3 in the morning on the regular, finishing a demo at 3 in the morning and having to get up at 6, 7 o'clock to get the kids ready for school or something. And I stopped. Like if I work till 10 o'clock now, that's an extremely late night. So I just was like, you know what, it's not worth it. In the grand scheme of things, it's just not worth it to me. And it's been a real eye opener. So I hope that answers your question, sort of.
Well, where can people find you and your demo production? And so that way their names can be added to that list on your website and become
There
amazing
you go.
talent.
Yeah, it's ear blowing audio is essentially where you can find me for everything. Social is at ear blowing audio. Website's earblowingaudio.com. So yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on, man. This has been great.
I appreciate it. Cheers.
Cheers.
I really hope you enjoyed listening to Eric's journey and how his keen, trained ear has led to some pretty magic things in his career. If you'd like to hear his amazing demo production capabilities or maybe book him for your next ear-blowing demo, you can find him at earblowingaudio.com. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Create the deck of your dreams now at Menards. Spend less time maintaining your deck and more time enjoying it with UltraDeck low-maintenance composite decking from Menards. It's easy to install and built to last. Plus, get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store and on Menards.com. Save big on UltraDeck and check out more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.